Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so were you worried? Were you wondering what was going to happen? I don't know what you were doing last night when Iran started firing its 22 missiles, ballistic missiles. They're older ones, by the way, an interesting fact there. They're older ones. They weren't using their best stuff to come after, quote-unquote, come after us. So they were using things that were not very inaccurate. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't kill any Americans. They didn't kill any Iraqis. They did very little damage to facilities. And it makes it look like they responded. They responded, quote unquote, in force. But that was it. I mean, because why would they want to? Right? You got to think that way. This is not Obama. This isn't even Bush 43. This is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, if you've paid any attention to his past and his career, I mean, you hit me, I'm going to crush you. And he understands that. I think he's been acting probably of all 3 years now, I think the most presidential in recent days, and dealing with global threats and the threat of war, things like that, have a tendency to change the man in the office. And he understands peace through strength. I'm going to play for you. A friend of mine, Cindy Watko, here in Raleigh, put up an interview that I had seen before. All the way back in 1980, Donald Trump was just 34 years of age. And he did an interview with Rona Barrett. Remember that name? If you're old enough, you might remember her. She'd interview all these big stars. She kind of had this crazy, gnarly hair. And they were in his apartment or his penthouse somewhere overlooking Central Park. All the way back to 1980, not only did he talk about the presidency, but he also talked about Iran. Because this was right on the heels, right in the midst of the Iranian hostage crisis, which started in 1979 under President Jimmy Carter. And it's pretty amazing to hear what Donald Trump had to say. He was 34 in 1980, 34 years of age. He was already a very, very successful real estate guy there in New York City. And to hear him talk about these things was, fascinating, to say the least. So I'll play that for you here in a little bit. But I wanted to get through some facts and then some really interesting response. Some of it just ridiculous, like from Lawrence O'Donnell and MSNBC, because here's the deal. And as soon as he made the decision, as soon as President Trump made the decision to take Soleimani out last week, then the liberals, especially those in Congress, they're looking for anything and everything. Talk about predator drones. They're just buzzing around, flying around all the time, looking for anything to bolster their case that this man is an existential threat to America and needs to be removed from office. So they're looking for anything. Oh, he's going to take us to war. Oh, War Powers Act. By the way, speaking of that, the War Powers Act and Congress laying claim that we, only Congress, has the right to wage war and to declare war, which is true. But, friend, can you tell me the last war that Congress actually declared, the last war action that America was involved in that Congress declared? Do you know that? Do you know the answer to that question? The answer is, and this may surprise you, it's World War II. That's the last declared war in American history, World War II. Korea, not declared. Vietnam, not declared. What Kennedy tried to do in the Bay of Pigs, not declared. Grenada, and then you go to Gulf War I, Gulf War II, the War on Terror. None of those are declared. So now, all of a sudden, my cousin Vance, who served honorably, and his family as well, World War II, they're on Facebook Live. You want to join us on Facebook Live, the Steve Noble Show is the Facebook page there. On Facebook, and you can join us right here in the studio. And we have conversations during the commercial breaks on the radio. We're still talking here in the studio, so you might want to check that out. But yeah, World War II, but ever since then, so now all of a sudden they're going to get all wigged out about it. And by the way, talking about Donald Trump and using the word assassination, which it wasn't, and in it's a war action, not a war, and the president has war powers, warlike powers. By the way, just some more history for you, just some more facts. I know those can be troublesome things, but under Obama, 8 years of Obama, he had over 500 hits with drones, over 500, closer to 600 attacks by drone in countries like Yemen and Syria. killed north of 3,000 people, of which about 300 of them were civilians. And here's what you heard from all the hawkish concern for global security Democrats when that happened. So over 500 drone attacks, over 3,000 people killed, about 10% of which were civilians. And here's, let me get this. Here's what we heard from the Democrats concerned with war powers at the time. Yeah, that's it. That's all of it. So Donald Trump does it, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it's World War III. So pretty amazing that Donald Trump understands peace through strength. And by the way, this wasn't a shock, because Soleimani's been a problem for decades. And there's one estimate that between 2003 and 2011, 17% of all deaths of U.S. personnel in Iraq were orchestrated by Soleimani himself. So when they got – now, this was very smart – and he was plotting. He was involved in the recent attack on our embassy in Iraq. He was involved in a recent bombing that hurt four U.S. soldiers. He's involved in all this stuff. He is a extinction level type guy, right? Just like Osama bin Laden. Obama kills Osama bin Laden. We have a party on the White House lawn. Trump takes out Soleimani, and all of a sudden it's World War III, abuse of power. Here's yet another article of impeachment. But they're smart. So all this stuff, and it looks like they had information of some other things that he was planning that would have injured or killed more American citizens as well as others. By the way, Soleimani has killed way more Muslims than he has Americans. But that doesn't matter, apparently, to liberals. Anyway, they didn't hit him on Iranian soil. They hit him on Iraqi soil. Because if they had hit the number two guy in the country, Soleimani's the number two guy in Iran behind the Ayatollah. The number two guy, if they had hit him on Iran, then I would say, oh, yeah, that's pretty much tantamount to a declaration of war because you're taking out the number two guy in a country on their soil. But they got him when he came into Iraq on a commercial flight, by the way, coming to Baghdad, not to play golf. So this was an interesting story. This was out of Fox News. It's just fascinating. And praise the Lord for the ability of our troops and our leaders and our technology. U.S. military officials were warned about Iran's pending ballistic missile strike when the air defense systems went active shortly before the attack was launched, a U.S. official in Baghdad told Fox News. U.S. intelligence picked up chatter from Iran and inside Iraq, tipping off American forces to a strike around 1:30 a.m. local time or 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Soon after, Iran launched more than a dozen short-range ballistic missiles into Iraq, striking military bases housing American and coalition troops. Nobody died. And I was looking at, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at aerial photography of where they hit. There's a crater here and there out in the middle of the desert with this huge air base out there. And they were doing something, so they didn't do nothing. But they knew, isn't it interesting? If we kill a single American, that's not going to go well for us. That's what's called peace through strength. Trump gets it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Thanks to my buddy TJ, who's on with us on Facebook Live. Noticed this is just breaking. Two rockets hit Baghdad's green zone. Iraqi military confirms two rockets fell inside Baghdad's green zone. No casualties reported. So that's going on out there. Trump won this. No doubt about it. This was a great move for the country. Great move overall for the meta narrative of what's going on in the East, in the Middle East. And dealing with Iran, peace through strength. You hit one of ours. We're going to take out 20 of yours. Trump came right out and said, this is not going to be proportional. Meaning, and that's why Iran used older technology. They fired at places where there was a good chance they weren't going to harm anybody, weren't going to kill anybody. Because they knew, and I think you probably knew, I understood this as well. This was totally consistent with Trump. Can you imagine what would be happening right now if they had killed 5 or 10 or 50 U.S. soldiers? The response would not be proportional. It would be big, and it would be alarming, and that can still happen. So just before we start raising the flags up in the air and chanting, you know, USA, USA, we're talking about the Middle East here. We're talking about spiritual darkness. We're talking about Islam. We're talking about all kinds of things that are not going to be settled for sure until Jesus comes back and settles it himself. And here you go. Two rockets hit Baghdad's green zone. We'll find out probably pretty quickly where they came from. And anything going on there, because Iran is the biggest terror state on the planet, and they have proxies all over the place. Proxies meaning they're just propping up funding and enabling all kinds of other terrorist groups. Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, they've been involved with all kinds of stuff. They're playing the game across the board there. That's what Iran's all about. So, and even though their political leader came out and said, okay, yeah, we did this slap on the across the face. The Ayatollah came out and said, this is not enough. So in Iran, the Ayatollah wins. So we'd like to think this is, quote unquote, over, but it isn't. So as a matter of fact, let's just stick to what Scripture tells us, and let's just stop together right now and pray for those in authority over us. Father God, we just thank you that you're sovereign, that you're good, that we can trust you, Lord. And we do pray for peace in the Middle East. We know, Lord, we're sober-minded. We know what your word says. We know the presence of evil. And we know that it won't fully happen until Christ comes back, but we do pray for it approximately as much as possible in the meantime. So, Lord, as we hear about more missiles and explosions and danger and mayhem, Lord, we just pray for the president and his staff, especially his military leaders, but also the civilians involved in these decisions, Lord, Mike Pompeo, all the other people on the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the cabinet, Lord, give them great supernatural wisdom, as much restraint as they can, Lord, without sacrificing safety and justice, and just pray you protect them, give them wisdom to make these decisions, Lord. We pray for people on the ground over there, the innocent people, Lord. And we pray that somehow, some way, you would be glorified all this and that your kingdom would be expanded because of it. But we do pray for peace and we pray for security and strength, Lord, in the appropriate fashion, and especially for wisdom for those in authority over us. And we ask all that in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that. Thanks, TJ, for throwing that up there for me. And so let's look at some responses, because this is kind of wild. And I am going to, in the next segment, I'll play that interview Rona Barrett did with a very young Donald Trump. He was only 34 in 1980. Talked about the presidency as well as Iran. Really, really fascinating. So I'm going to get to that as well. All right, MSNBC host celebrates Iranian attacks on American troops. What? Yep, this probably doesn't surprise you. In the midst of the attacks, left-wing MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell, this is from the Daily Wire, celebrated the hits from Iran apparently as a strike against President Donald Trump. Quote, Trump wagged the dog. Now the dog is wagging Trump, the host boasted via Twitter. And I don't think saying that's boasting is inaccurate. Trump wagged the dog. Now the dog is wagging Trump. The only thing he was missing, Lawrence O'Donnell from MSNBC, was perhaps a smiley face emoji. These threats of war crimes and mass murder by Iran make this the most dangerous night in history of American military in the Middle East. And the president of the United States has no idea what to say. White House says Trump won't make a statement, said the MSNBC employee. He's literally speechless. That's what he put on Twitter. Now that's what Trump derangement syndrome sounds like. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? If you were thinking the president would say something clarifying or reassuring about this night of worldwide confusion and fear, you were thinking of a different president, O'Donnell continued. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Sure, don't worry about it, Lawrence. It's just Iran. Wow, that's ridiculous. Iran's foreign minister, another response. The fierce revenge by the Revolutionary Guard has begun. That was the Iranian designated terror organization said in a statement Tuesday via Telegram messaging app. Of course, it's an app. The fierce revenge by the Revolutionary Guards has begun. They make up their own reality over there. In a statement issued shortly after the attacks, the Pentagon provided some details on Iran strikes. But this other guy is saying, you know, hey, this is the great fierce revenge. Iran took and concluded, they said later, a proportionate measures in self-defense under Article 51 of UN Charter targeting base from which cowardly armed attack against our citizens and senior officials were launched, Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif tweeted after the attack. We do not seek escalation or war, but we'll defend ourselves against any aggression. Can you believe the number one terrorist nation on the planet is referencing the UN? The UN Charter? That's rich. Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, this is the puppet master, okay, who has been engaged in bombastic rhetoric in recent days and was personally close to Soleimani, issued his own statement. The U.S. was slapped last night, but such military actions are not enough, he tweeted. The corruptive presence of the U.S. in the region of West Asia must be stopped. So you've got one guy playing one side of the game and you got the Ayatollah playing the other. And what's going on there is this clash between radical Islam, which is really just fundamentalist Islam, and the tenuous situation in Iran because a large and growing percentage of their own people want to overthrow the government. And so you see these massive groups out there, quote unquote, mourning Soleimani. There is no massive thing going on in Iran unless they want it going on. So don't think that there was some outpouring. There's a great video of an Iranian American young lady talking about, hey, she has friends back in Iran are baking cakes and having parties thanking Donald Trump for killing Soleimani. Because the guy was a total evil terrorist who needed to die, and now he's dead. I don't delight in that because odds are good he's in hell. And none of us should delight in that. You don't delight in that. Is justice served? Absolutely. I trust the Lord and praise him with it. But vengeance isn't ours, it's his. So that's some responses there. Here's a couple things from Trump's address this morning. This is how he started. This was a strong start. As long as I am president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. That was his opening comment. And that was on purpose. And that was directed at Iran, okay? I'm pleased to inform you, the president said, the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained in our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything, he underscored. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world, said the president. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform for far too long, all the way back to 1979, to be exact. Now I'm going to play this on the other side of the break. I'm going to play this little interview that he did with Rona Barrett in 1980 when he was 34. He talked about Iran. Behavior in the Middle East. Those days are over, Trump declared. Iran has been the leading state sponsor of terrorism, and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world. We will never let that happen. Guess what? Now Iran knows he's serious. The whole world knows he's serious. And the liberals just need to embrace that. They can hate him all they want, but this is a good presidential, America first, world security decision. Trump won, the liberals lost. More on that when we come back right after this. If you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. What do you think? Do you agree Trump wins, liberals lose when it came to what just happened over the last week? I definitely think so. I think Trump wins. I think America won. I think it's good for world stability. I think it's good for the Middle East. For Iran, there's a new sheriff in town, obviously. And he's not going to sit back and do nothing. He's not going to appease you. He's certainly not going to show up in the middle of the night with a bunch of cash on pallets to the tune of $180 billion. And so Trump mentioned it recently. Ted Cruz was talking about it last night. That, hey, thanks a lot, America. Well, that $180 billion in cash, that helped fund the country and what they're doing and rearming themselves. Now, interestingly enough, now this is where you have to pay attention to all these different stories. And remember, everybody's pushing a narrative. Okay, I'm a born-again Christian, conservative theologically, conservative politically, obviously. And so I'm pushing that perspective all the time. I would never tell you I'm objective because I'm not. So when you look at all these news stories saying, hey, the money that Obama gave them, that we, quote unquote, returned $180 billion, part of it in cash, $180 billion in cash on pallets delivered in the middle of the night. Unbelievable. But no, I got to spend 2.5 years talking about Russian collusion. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, and then they turn on and say, well, the money that we gave them is we basically paid for those missiles. But they used old missiles with old technology on purpose so that they wouldn't use the more accurate stuff and so that they had a smaller chance of causing any real damage and killing anybody. Because you know, and Trump said it the other day, I'm not doing proportionality. That is not going to happen. So if they had killed 10 people last night, there'd be a lot more than 10 Iranians dead today, most likely, on Iranian soil. So that's a powder keg there, and we have to be very careful. It's not over yet, but I think it was a good thing. I totally agree with what Trump did. And in the fourth segment, the last segment of the show, I'm going to read extensively from this article because it's so good. And if I didn't tell you who wrote it, you'd be like cheering the whole time. But once I tell you who wrote it, you're going to be like, what? When did that happen? When did this guy change teams? He doesn't necessarily change teams, but this is a pretty amazing article written by a very unlikely source, totally in support of what President Trump just did. Okay, speaking of President Trump, this is interesting. We're going to go back in time here, okay? We're going to go back to 1980. Rona Barrett, remember her? She used to do all these interviews with high-flying people, and this was Trump, only 34 years of age. They were sitting in one of his apartments or whatever overlooking Central Park, and Rona Barrett is, you know, kind of Hollywood-ish. Fascinating conversation because the presidency comes up as well as Iran. 1980, Ronald Reagan hadn't gotten in yet, and we're still dealing with the Iranian hostage situation, okay? This is going back all the way to 1980. Trump, age 34. This is fascinating. Check this out.
You are a mover. You are a doer. If you could make America perfect, how would you do it?
Well, I think that America is a country that has tremendous, tremendous potential. I think that much like the mind, I think that America is using very, very little of its potential. I feel that this country with the proper leadership can go on to become what it once was. And I hope and certainly hope that it does go on to be what it should be.
What should it be?
Well, it should really be a country that gets the respect of other countries.
Today, is respect the most important thing in your opinion?
Well, respect can lead to other things. When you get the respect of the other countries, then the other countries tend to do a little bit as you do, and you can create the right attitudes. The Iranian situation is a case in point. That they hold our hostages is just absolutely and totally ridiculous. That this country sits back and allows a country such as Iran to hold our hostages, to my way of thinking, is a horror. And I don't think they'd do it with other countries. I honestly don't think they'd do it with other countries.
Obviously, you're advocating that we should have gone in there with troops, etc., and brought our boys out.
I absolutely feel that, yes. I don't think there's any question, and there's no question in my mind. I think right now would be an oil-rich nation, and I believe that we should have done it, and I'm very disappointed that we didn't do it, and I don't think anybody would have held us in abeyance. I don't think anybody would have been angry with us, and we had every right to do it at the time. I think we've lost the opportunity.
For some people, the ultimate goal in life has been becoming the President of the United States. Would you like to be the President of the United States?
I really don't believe I would, Rona, but I would like...
Now remember, this. He was 34 at the time talking to Rona Barrett. It's 1980. You're listening to a very young Donald Trump.
To see somebody as the President who could do the job, and there are very capable people in this country.
Most people who are capable are not running for office. Most men are frightened of politics today.
It is a shame, isn't it?
Yes.
It is a shame. The most capable people are not necessarily running for political office, and that is a very sad commentary on the country. They had major corporations and they had this and that, but they are not running for political office.
Why wouldn't someone like yourself run for political office? You have all the money that you possibly need. You've accomplished a great deal, even though you are only 34. I know there's a lot of things that you possibly can do in the years ahead. Why wouldn't you dedicate yourself to public service?
Because I think it's a very mean life. I would love and I would dedicate my life to this country, but I see it as being a mean life, and I also see it that somebody with strong views and somebody with the kind of views that are maybe a little bit unpopular, which may be right, but maybe unpopular, wouldn't necessarily have a chance of getting elected against somebody with no great brain but a big smile. And that's a sad commentary for the political process.
Television, in a strange way, has ruined that process, hasn't it?
It's hurt the process very much. I mean, the Abraham Lincolns of the world. Abraham Lincoln would probably not be electable today because of television. He was not a handsome man, and he did not smile at all. He would not be considered to be a prime candidate for the presidency, and that's a shame, isn't it?
But if all the men are like you, then when are we going to get somebody who might be...
Again, this is Donald Trump talking to Rona Barrett in 1980 when he was 34.
Good.
I don't know. I hope it's around the corner, but I don't know. I really don't know. What I would like to be involved in is trying to help choose somebody or working with a group of people whereby they put up a candidate who would be acceptable to be a presidential, you know, to be the president. The country, if we had the one man, and it's really not that big a situation. You know, people say, well, what could anybody do as president? The one man could turn this country around. The one proper president could turn this country around. I firmly believe that.
If you lost your fortune today, what would you do tomorrow?
Maybe I'd run for president. I don't know.
Pretty interesting, huh? Yeah, so Donald Trump at age 34 in 1980. And that was dealing with the Iranian hostage crisis under President Jimmy Carter, when we had all of our people there. It was like 455 days, something like that. It's crazy. And Carter just frozen. not knowing what to do, afraid to use the power. They tried once. They had a failed mission. Those helicopters went down in the desert, and that was it. They didn't pursue peace through strength. And Donald Trump at 34, 1980, talking about we need the respect of other countries. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that other countries are putting a MAGA hat on top of their flagpoles outside of their embassies. Respect doesn't necessarily mean agreement. Respect means an acknowledgement that something or somebody is capable, powerful, has some authority. You respect that. You give it the attention it deserves. You have respect for a loaded gun. You have respect for somebody that's an authority over you. And Trump was at 34 years of age in 1980. We need the respect of other countries, which is exactly what you see happening with Iran and the Middle East. They will never say it, but that's what this is about. They push, they push, they push. Soleimani for years, through their proxies, directly involved with the murder of over 600 American citizens, mostly personnel, 17% of all the casualties between 2000, I think it was 2005 and 2011 in Iraq were directly attributed to him. Those are American casualties. I mean, a mass murderer and a horrific terrorist. But Iran's number two guy. Well, you can't take out another government's number two guy. Yes, you can. And there's a time when you should. I'm not advocating for assassination, by the way. This wasn't a political hit. This is a guy that the Obama administration acknowledged as one of the top terrorists in the world, if not the top terrorist in the world, who had killed Americans and was planning to kill more Americans. So you take preemptive action, which is what they did. And so that's that gains the respect of not just Iran, but every other country on the planet. And they can, and people can laugh about Trump and talk about the crazy things he says and his hair and all this stuff. And I cringe when I listen to him speak, especially off the cuff. He's a lot of people appreciate how direct he is, and I do. But his level of communication and stuff and his nuances and he's not a great communicator. He doesn't have this tremendous command of the English language. But he is tough. You give him that. I mean, he's playing that game with China. He plays that game with the UN, and he's winning. And that's because there's some respect. I don't expect any of these countries or any of these major players to actually say that publicly, because they've already taken their position. They're not going to back down from that. But actions speak louder than words, right? And so Iran, we'll see. Well, but there is that breaking news. A couple of missiles that would appear landed in the green zone. Two explosions. Iraqi military confirmed that. So we've got to keep paying attention to that. We've got to continue to pray for our president, whether you like him or not, for our government, for our leaders, for safety and peace and for wisdom. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about the big items of the news day in the past week with Iran and Trump's strong response to that. Iran backing down, knowing that they've got a new sheriff in town. He understands that you can have peace through superior firepower, essentially. Peace through strength. And we played that clip from an interview back in 1980 when he was 34, when he was talking about, hey, we need the respect of other countries. Iran's never going to come out and say, hey, we respect President Trump. But behind closed doors, what they know is that he's no one to be trifled with. America's not to be trifled with. Osama bin Laden saw that we were a paper tiger. And everybody knows now at this point that Donald Trump is not a paper tiger. So we'll continue to monitor all this, and let's all continue to pray for our president, for all those in authority over us, and everybody involved in this situation, because things are still happening. Like I said, this was breaking news just a little while ago. Two rockets hit Baghdad's green zone. So that's going on. No casualties reported, but this is far from over. It won't be over, remember, until Jesus comes back. So it's still a tough situation, and it's Iran, so you don't know. So let's make sure we're paying attention and praying for those in authority over us, especially for the president and his military team. That's a big deal. Shapiro, Trump's Iran policy isn't the problem. Barack Obama's was. It's a great article. I'm not going to read a lot of it because I want to get to this other one, which I think is going to totally blow you out of the water. This week, President Donald Trump launched a global round of teeth gnashing when he ordered the killing of the greatest terrorist leader in the modern Middle East, Iranian Major General Qasem Soleimani. Soleimani was unquestionably responsible for the deaths of hundreds of Americans in Iraq and thousands of others throughout the Middle East, mostly Muslim. But for many in the media and on the domestic and international left, Trump's action was precipitously provocative. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called Soleimani's killing disproportionate. How do you say that, Nancy? He's known to be responsible for the death of over 600 Americans and thousands of other people, mostly Muslims. We kill him. That's disproportionate. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat, Massachusetts, suggested that Trump, not the Iranians, had escalated the situation. Wow. Joe Biden said that Trump had just tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox. Now, we are the stick of dynamite. And I think Iran knows that now. This reaction has been magnified by the media. Think pieces have been written about whether the United States will reactivate the draft. So ridiculous. That was actually trending on Twitter. People are so ignorant. Oh my gosh, it's World War III. Are they going to institute the draft? Oh, I'm going to move to Canada. Musings that filled the newspapers about the supposed conflagration prompted not by Iranian evil, but by Trumpian reactivity. This is a deliberate misreading of history designed to absolve the Obama administration of its Iran policy debacle, Ben Shapiro writes. The administration pursued a policy of strengthening Iran economically and did so while openly acknowledging that Iran would use the newly gained economic strength to pursue terrorism and ballistic missile testing. And speaking of the sanctions relief given to Iran, then Secretary of State John Kerry explained in January 2016, quote, I think that some of it will end up in the hands of the IRGC or other entities, some of which are labeled terrorists. Oh, yeah, have another sip of coffee, John. No big deal. That's precisely what happened, Shapiro wrote. Iran has built up Hezbollah in Lebanon, propped up Bashar Assad in Syria, increased its presence in Iraq, and bolstered its war in Yemen. Then Trump ordered the killing of Soleimani. Suddenly, we have been informed by dishonest Democrats that and their media allies Iran has gone rogue. Nonsense. Iran has been rogue for decades, Shapiro writes. Trump thought differently. Now Iran has come face to face with the prospect that actions have consequences, and those consequences don't involve pallets of cash being shipped over to fund terror organizations that span the globe. Amen and amen. Okay, so I'm just gonna tell you a couple of opening lines from this piece, and then you'll probably be shocked by who wrote it. I've been pondering what to write about Iran's top military leader, Soleimani, ever since he was killed last Friday. My initial feeling on hearing the news was one of relief that such an obviously despicable human being was dead. My second feeling, one that I suspect most people had, whatever their view of President Trump's decision to order Soleimani's death via a drone strike on his car convoy at Baghdad Airport, was concern at what this meant for world peace. But now, 5 days later, and after Iran hit back at America last night with missile strikes at U.S. bases in Iraq, I know what I think, and it's this. Trump was absolutely right. Let's be clear. Soleimani was the world's most dangerous terrorist. No ifs, no buts, no carefully worded equivocation. Iran's second most powerful man was leader of the Quds Force, Iran's brutally despotic Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and presided over two decades of despicable terror acts committed by proxy terrorists right across the Middle East, from Iraq to Yemen and Syria to Lebanon. As such, he was no different ideologically from other terror leaders like al-Qaeda chief Osama bin Laden and ISIS commander Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Like them, his life was devoted to killing people via terrorism. And like them, he was killed by U.S. forces to stop him directing more terror acts. But unlike bin Laden and Baghdadi, Soleimani's death has been met with howls of protest from the world's liberals. Within minutes of it being confirmed, outsprang the usual suspect mouth, foaming, Trump-loathing celebrities who erupt in hysterical rage every time he speaks, tweets, or does anything, often with little knowledge of what has actually happened. Actress Rose McGowan led the pack by posting the following tweet. Dear Iran, the USA has disrespected your country, your flag, your people. 52% of us humbly apologize. We want peace with your nation. We are being held hostage by a terrorist regime. We do not know how to escape. Please do not kill us. Wow. When this bizarre mea culpa prompted understandable outrage, she retorted, of course Soleimani was an evil man who did evil things. But at the moment, that's not the blanking point. Then she apologized again to Iran. Later, McGowan backtracked, explaining, okay, so I freaked out because we may have impending war, and I do not want any more American soldiers killed. That's it. This mysterious author writes. So the best way to prevent more American soldiers being killed is to keep alive the man who has been killing so many of them for 20 years? Colin Kaepernick, oh boy, The NFL quarterback, famed for his kneeling protest during the U.S. national anthem, accused Trump of having a racist motivation. Quote, there's nothing new about American terrorist attacks on black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism, he tweeted. Golly, Colin. Go away, please. Sorry, what? This mystery writer said. Kaepernick either doesn't know or chooses to ignore that for many years, Iran has been committing terror attacks on black and brown people for the expansion of its own imperialist agenda in the Middle East. Many other stars, from John Legend to John Cusack and Alyssa Milano, also felt compelled to tell the world how disgusting it was that Soleimani has been killed, as Twitter, so often wrong about almost everything, went into meltdown about the inevitable World War III that would now apparently result from Trump's supposed idiocy. This is a great article. Oh, they all agreed Soleimani was a very bad man who killed lots of people, but they also think he should have been kept alive to continue killing lots more people. Epitomizing this seemingly absurd contradictory attitude was Democrat presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, of course. A day later, Warren had a rethink and said that, in fact, the bad guy was President Trump, who had assassinated a senior foreign military official. It's no coincidence that Warren's dramatic change in tone came after 24 hours of rage from fellow liberals horrified that she had told the truth about Soleimani's murderous record. But when repeatedly pressed yesterday by Meghan McCain on The View as to whether Soleimani was a terrorist, Warner finally said, of course he was. Wow, that's big of you. Thanks. So let me get this straight. This mystery writer says, Soleimani was a mass murdering terrorist responsible for killing thousands of people, including hundreds of Americans, but should be left alone because it might escalate the situation with Iran? I don't remember the risk of escalating conflict being an issue when the killings of bin Laden or Baghdadi, who are also mass murdering terrorists responsible for murdering thousands of people, including many Americans. No. When Obama ordered the execution of bin Laden, liberals cheered him around the world. But Trump derangement syndrome dictates there must be a very different response when the current president kills a terror leader. We saw this when Trump was roundly booed at a World Series game in Washington the day after Baghdadi blew himself up after being cornered by U.S. Special Forces. And now we see it again, only even worse, with a staggeringly two-faced liberal response to Soleimani's death. There's no doubt Soleimani's death will lead to more repercussions and revenge attacks by Iran, like we're looking at in the news right now. Two missiles dropped in the green zone. Just while I've been on the air, okay, so we got to pay attention to that. Last night's missile strikes, this mystery writer says, described by the Ayatollah as a slap in the face to America, certainly won't be the end of their response to their martyr's death. But that doesn't make the decision to kill him wrong. President Trump didn't just wake up one day and decide to take him out. There had been a series of recent Iran-inspired rocket attacks on U.S. bases in Iraq, culminating in one a few days earlier that killed an American contractor and injured U.S. and Iraqi soldiers. Trump responded by ordering U.S. strikes on Kataib Hezbollah, the Iran proxy militia that carried out the rocket attacks. For Trump and his military advisors, this situation was determinedly reminiscent of the capture of the U.S. embassy of the diplomats in Tehran in 1979, which is why I played that clip of that interview from him when he was 34 in 1980. Because he wanted respect. We need respect of other countries. That's a direct quote, what he said when he was 34. Iran will be held fully responsible for lives lost or damage incurred at any of our facilities, Trump tweeted, to which Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, responded on Twitter by taunting back at the U.S. president, you can't do anything. Boy, he was wrong. Let me jump to the end. President Trump considered various military options presented to him and chose the killing of Soleimani to send Iran a firm message that, yes, actually, the United States could and would do something to defend itself. As to his motivation, it had nothing to do with racism, as Colin Kaepernick ludicrously suggested, nor do I believe it was designed to create a distraction from Trump's impeachment, which seems to be helping, not hindering him in the polls anyway. No, I share the view of retired General David Petraeus, one of America's finest military minds, who said Soleimani's death was bigger than bin Laden, bigger than Baghdadi. In other words, President Trump called Iran's menacing, threatening, cocky, murderous bluff to put them back in their box. He gave them the slap in the face they deserved and deserves praise, not hypocritical liberal outrage for taking such bold action. Far from making the world a more dangerous place, I think the world just got a little safer without the presence of a loathsome terror leader like Soleimani. Who wrote this? Is an awesome article. I'll put a link up for it on Facebook Live. Who wrote it? None other than Piers Morgan. Ha! See? God's still in the miracle business. Piers Morgan, uber liberal. Coming to his senses, apparently. Pretty awesome. Piers Morgan. Wow. Anything's possible. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.